teenagers going and I'm off duty.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Jash, Barry J, and Michael, the virtual Youper. Tonight, another solar flare hits the Earth. DirecTV turns off the Viacom channels, and Copper Harbor's lighthouse has gone LED? All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in southwest New Hampshire, here's Jash, Barry J, and Michael! Hey, welcome everybody to Late Night QRM show number 57 from the southwest corner where we're about to get thunderstorm here. I'm Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Jash.
And from the paramedic station, and I'm not on duty, I'm Michael, the virtual Youper.
And welcome, everybody. Like I said, we have not had rain here in southern New Hampshire for well over a week, almost 2 weeks, and everything was starting to brown out here. My side yard is getting crunchy. And crunchy brown. And so we're looking forward to this rain that's going to come in. We're supposed to get about an inch tonight of rain. And of course, the front's going to come through, which is going to be thunder boomers. And I've already heard a couple booms. So hopefully we'll make it through. It might be a little noisy podcast, but and hopefully we'll make it through without losing power or anything. So maybe I should save often. I don't know whether I can do that.
Save often. Are you on the Mini or the MacBook?
Well, I'm Skype is on the Mini, and but the show's being recorded on my PC.
Ah, and you've got a UPS on there, right?
I do have a UPS on it, but it's seen better days. I've got to replace the batteries on them because they're probably 5-6 years old.
So kind of like the old submarine when the battery goes off. Save, save, save.
Yeah, exactly.
Dive, dive.
So we'll see what happens. I don't know how long I've got on the batteries. Probably about 30 seconds.
Sure, you can save the show that quickly. You're right.
I have to get some
seconds.
Wow. I have to get some replacement batteries anyway. So it wasn't that interesting of a week for me. I went back to work, and I'm still painting the house. I thought I was going to paint yesterday, but I ended up scraping all day some more. The back of the house was in pretty bad shape, so I was scraping old paint off, and then of course today I went and continued scraping a little bit because they said this storm was supposed to start somewhere around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, well, I'm not painting today because, you know, we're supposed to get rain. So I ended up just scraping some more. And hopefully next weekend's a long weekend for me. So maybe Friday I can actually get the sprayer out and start making the backside of the house look good again.
Let me know. Yeah. I'll come on up.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining on coming on up.
Yeah. I still have to worry about the bucket truck, but we'll have to, you know, it's going to be easy to do the one side. It's going to be harder to do that stupid the dormer that I have going out, because that's there's going to be some repair work there before we can paint it. So renting the bucket truck could get expensive on me. I may need it 2 or 3 times. So,
well, you know, we take it a day at a time. We get as much done as we can. I mean,
yeah,
that's the way I look at it.
Right.
You know, they drop that puppy off at 5 o'clock or something on a Friday evening. There's nothing says I can't shoot up almost directly after work, crash at your place. That way, 5 o'clock Saturday morning, we're out on it working.
5 o'clock?
Well, just...
Wait a minute. 5 o'clock and what was the music you wanted to blast while you're working? Reggae?
Bob Marley. Reggae.
5 o'clock in the morning out there. With reggae music.
Exactly. Well, you ain't got any neighbors to worry about, and you want to maximize the use the usefulness of the machine without having to pay for an extra day.
That yeah.
Literally, from the minute the sun comes up, we start working.
Watch. Oh, if this was a video podcast.
My improvised dreadlocks there.
Michael's put dreadlocks on.
There's heavy cable here. Like,
actually, you kind of look like you kind of look more Jewish than.
Whatever it takes to get the job done, right?
Oh, this would be a great video podcast. This
time. You can only see this at home, folks.
Yeah, really.
Well, maybe it's a good thing you can't see this at home.
So happens when a little punchy.
Yeah. How many hours of sleep have you gotten in the past 3 days?
3 hours since Thursday night.
3 hours since Thursday night? Wow. I'm surprised you can function.
I'm fine, really.
Really?
Oh, I'm not.
Oh, if this was only video. Oh, that's great. Oh, well.
And it said I'm Mr. Mom Taxi because, you know, this time of year, my wife, bless her heart, you know, she's working 6 days a week and 6 nights a week. She closes one business 3 nights a week till close, which is 10 or 11 at night, and then she closes the other business 3 nights a week till 11 at night, plus she works during the day, and then she does township office work at the township office after she closes the shops. Jeez. So she's not available for taxi service right now, understandably.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Well, we'll see whether he shows up. Somebody just came online.
Oh. He's not on my contact list.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have mine showing. Oh, damn it. There's a bum wire in here somewhere.
Why? What happened?
Well, all I did is I went to pick up because I was playing with stuff on the desk and I was playing with a pocket knife I had given my wife. She had sitting here. And I bumped the wire, and all of a sudden, I lost all sound.
Well, you know, wires and pocket knives don't mix.
I say the same thing. That looks like a big pocket knife to have near wires.
This is the one I gave my wife.
Well, here's a small pocket knife. It's 12 inches long.
This is the little one. I'm like, here, you might need this as a utility tool in your purse, you know, or if you need to, you know, hold up a bank, you know, I don't know. I guess it is on the big side, I suppose. But
it kind of looks like a young machete.
Yeah, real.
Your wife needs to hold that up when she says, does anybody here have any objections to this couple wedding?
Exactly.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't say that right, but you know what I meant.
Exactly. If anybody have any objections, you come talk to me now.
Oh, that's too much. Jeez. Well, we should start on some topics here, huh?
Yeah,
first of all, let's talk about the solar flare that happened on Thursday, I think it was. And it ended up hitting us here yesterday around 1 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that. And supposedly, well, I didn't see anything last night, but supposedly the Northern Lights were, or Aurora were supposed to be seen as low as Washington, D.C. That was a lie, because we couldn't see them here in New Hampshire. But But and I went out. I actually went out and looked, but they said if it was at all visible from New Hampshire, it would be down by the horizon. Well, if you know my property, looking at the horizon isn't something you can do with all the trees and everything. So, but how was it in Copper Harbor? Because I know they must have been fabulous in Copper Harbor last night.
Well, one thing about having 3 hours of sleep since Thursday, yes, I was up last night. And, they were awesome. Actually, they started the peak a little bit before midnight, and then if you look at the graph for the K-factor, it went down back in the yellow zone right around midnight to 1 o'clock. But then I was flying down the road, with due diligence, of course, due regard, about 3:30 this morning, inside the lit box of the ambulance, and I look out the window, and despite the fact that I'm inside a lit compartment, I can plainly see bright curtains of northern lights out the windows of the ambulance, just shimmering in the sky. And, you know, I'm bringing a patient to the hospital, and the nurses are standing out in the parking lot.
Their heads up in the air.
Heads up in the air.
Wow, that must have
been...
I'm
trying to bring up a picture real quick. I'll do that while we're talking about it. But they took some pretty cool pictures in the harbor last night.
Really?
I was only there to see them, but I got to see them out on the road, so...
Well, that's. I wish we could see it because they just. I've seen pictures from other people, and they just look fabulous. I mean, what colors and we do have.
I never get tired of them.
Yeah.
Just awesome.
And we're gonna get to see them this fall when we go up for vacation.
There you go.
Seriously, we got to. I'm dead serious about that road trip.
Yeah, we got to do something. We got to plan something. I still got.
I went and worked the entire week when we had a plant shutdown just to save up the vacation time to go on that trip.
And I have plenty of vacation still left over, so.
Show off.
It's not. Well, that's what happens when you work for the company for almost 20 years.
Yeah, that's true. I remember those days.
So, but. Yeah, until they change that, too.
Oh, my God.
Waiting for that to happen. Hopefully not. All righty, so...
What happened?
He's showing us his iPad.
What? No, I was going to show you... Oh, what's that?
The sounds of progress.
No, the sounds of a pop-up ad on Facebook on my iPad.
Oh.
Where'd that come from?
Really?
And how do I get rid of it?
I told you, Facebook is evil.
Last night.
Oh, look at that. Oh, my goodness.
Wow. I was trying to send you a picture quick, but I figured at least just try to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People... Greens,
that's what it looked like over the hospital.
Tons of green in the sky. It was
swirls.
Swirls. Yeah. That is absolutely wonderful. Jeez. If only this was a video. Maybe we should post that. I think send it to me and I'll post it with the show.
Yeah, I'll send you one. I'll send you when you can post that one. Since I was busy, I wasn't taking the picture, so I'll get permission and send you one.
Okay. Post. Yeah. Okay. That would be neat. People have to see that, so we'll put it up on the show notes so you can take a look at it. Now, speaking of iPad, since you had it out last week, Google came out with a Google Plus app for the iPad, and it is a very nice app, I've got to say. It reminds me a lot of like Flipbook, except for all your Google app. Or Google Plus articles and postings you can flip through them, and I gotta admit Google has in the past couple of weeks come out with a lot of apps for the iPad and for their own phones, they've done a great job. I'm actually been using. I'm continuing to use Chrome on the iPad, and actually the iPhone too. And I think it's better than Safari. I wish I could make it the the
what?
Default
anti-Apple speech?
Well, you know what? I've gone back to Chrome again on my computers, too, because, I don't know, they seem to have fixed things a little bit, and Safari, for some reason, has been giving me issues with displaying things again. So,
really?
Yeah.
Well, I have to be honest, I've been using, I bounce back between Firefox and Safari.
Hmm.
I'm off Chrome altogether.
I haven't had too many problems with Chrome. For a little bit there, it was becoming a memory hog, but that seems to be only certain sites that cause that to happen.
I'll tell you, though, Firefox is, they have really made some major awesome changes in a good way. I mean, big time.
Really?
It works better than ever before.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check them. I bring them up every so often just so that they're updated on my systems.
Right.
And I haven't brought Firefox up in a while, so I should do that and let it update, see how it's going. It's nice to have competition, though. I got to admit that.
It keeps people fresh. It keeps their product from becoming stagnant.
Right. You know, and it makes people care about their products a little bit. So, if you haven't gotten it, Google Plus app for the iPad is now available. Very nice. A little story that popped up today, or a couple days ago, actually, was New York has a bunch of payphones, and of course, nobody. Well,
what's a payphone?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody uses payphones anymore, and I don't think the phone companies want to actually keep them. Keep up with them because, well, it's just.
How's he doing?
What?
Sorry, Barry.
Josh is playing with a toy.
Yes, I am. It's one of those stress toys that big corporate companies give you, so you don't go ahead and punch the guy in the face who deserves it. So you're supposed to sit at your desk, mm-hmm. and you play with this little multi-jointed, I don't know, centipede-looking thing. And you can twist it and turn it, and you play with it. See, they make I can make a helix, and I can play fiddly fart with it. These are the things I do when we actually podcast. I entertain myself.
I'm sorry, Barry. So we're talking about telephone.
Anyway, so the the telephone companies don't want to have the bother with the payphones anymore because everybody's got cell phones now. And so what they decided to do with the space that they have is they're turning their payphones into Wi-Fi hotspots and free Wi-Fi hotspots throughout New York City. So that's kind of a clever idea, and hopefully they'll follow through in other towns. So just thought
you got a line going each one of those. You could run DSL to that, and then they're pre-wired.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to put the equipment in there, and hopefully it doesn't get vandalized.
Of course it will. Who are we kidding? You could put it in a titanium sealed, constructed kryptonite box, and somebody will find a way of cracking into that thing and stealing the router out of it.
Well, we'll have to see. We'll see what happens. But you're probably right.
Crash to the front window of a 7-Eleven, drag a chain in, wrap it around the ATM machine, which is bolted to the floor, 1,000 pounds of concrete in it, and yank it through the front of the store window. Trust me, that's a great idea. But it won't. The first time they find out, they just went through $200,000 of routers in 1 week. It'll go away.
Ah, Josh, you're so optimistic about it. Well, it is New York.
I'm a realist, man.
Yeah.
The street teams come out once the sun goes down.
Yeah. Really. The other big story that happened this week, especially if you're a DirecTV customer, DirecTV and Viacom are fighting, and therefore all the Viacom channels are off the air, and I didn't notice.
And my refund check for all the channels we can't watch is coming when?
Well, actually, we have a guy at work, and he is big on trying to get everything he can from DirecTV, and They announced that DirecTV announced that the Viacom channels would go dark at I forget what it was. It was like midnight on Wednesday. And I'm sure, as a matter of fact, I have to check with him, but I'm sure he was on the phone at 12:01 to them, and he did get something back from them.
Well, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be calling because my youngest watches a lot of Spike. He watches a lot of MTV. I don't know why, but he is not a happy camper.
Yeah.
You know what? Dish Network's looking pretty friggin' good now, isn't it, boys? Because DirecTV constantly keeps getting in a pissing match.
Well, actually, Dish is also in a pissing match with AMC. And right. They took them off, and that's been going on for quite some time now.
Right,
but AMC is making their product available on the web.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're not losing out. With DirecTV, they knock off all the Viacom stuff. You ain't getting it, period.
But it's not DirecTV that's the problem. It's Viacom, because they want more money from DirecTV. And they also want to bundle, you know, it's like, you got to take all our stations or none at all. And DirecTV, and this one article was first saying, look, we know Viacom has a couple good channels and a bunch of crap. And they don't particularly want to carry the crap, but Viacom forces them to. Plus, they're asking for a 30%. Viacom's asking for a 30% increase in what they want. And, of course, I'm kind of in favor of DirecTV doing this right now, because we know that if DirecTV said, okay, we'll pay you 30% more, you know who that's going to go to, that increase. Well,
they've done it several times.
Yeah.
That's why I dropped them. Because they kept bumping it up and bumping it up, and a little extra fee here. And next thing you know, you go, why the hell is my friggin' satellite bill $170 a month?
Yeah, but they're doing it to Dish too, and it's not really the satellite groups that are doing it. They're being forced. I mean, these guys that provide the programming say, hey, we want a little more, and so, you know, they have to negotiate it. And if DirecTV loses, then they got to pay Viacom in this case 30% more, and well, that's not coming out of their hide. That's going to come out of the viewers' hide.
Yeah. No, I'm in favor of DirecTV standing their ground. You really think Viacom's going to go, okay, that's it, you know, forget it, we won't carry our programming on your millions upon millions of users anymore.
Right, exactly. The only station I'm missing is Comedy Central, and I only miss that when South Park's new. So, you know, any other time.
My friend is upset that his source of news has gone away.
Oh, The Daily Show?
Yeah, Comedy Central.
Yeah, well, you can get that on. You can get that on Usenet Daily if you'd like to. There's still ways to get that. And I don't know. Some of the Viacom ones may be going to the internet, but we're going to see more and more of this happen as the old business tries to stay in power and make money as the new online streaming stuff takes over. And I would really rather see an a la carte system come in place.
Agreed.
And you know, you just pay for the stations you want instead of getting all the crap stations that go along with it.
I'm sorry, I've got nothing against it, but I really don't need BET. Okay?
No.
Yeah. Univision. You know, I'm sorry, my Spanish is way rusty, guys. I don't understand it. And then two, well, I understand every third word because they talk so fast.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm just, you're right. I'd rather, you know, give me your basics. Give me what I want. Drop the rest of the junk.
And I don't know about you guys. Your kids are getting older, so you're probably in the same boat because I don't have kids. But I don't need Nickelodeon and all the kids channels, the several Disney channels and things like that that are...
Like Baby Nick.
Yeah.
You know, when you got teenagers at home, I really don't think they need to see Dora the Explorer.
Right.
I don't think they tore up when they miss an episode.
Swiper, no swiping.
Yeah, exactly.
Some things stay with you forever.
Yes, they do. You know, now, you know, it's funny, I'm throwing names out here, but yeah, you know, I don't think every time my teenagers are home, it's always, you know, Jersey Shore and stuff like that. You know, so the cartoon channels can all go away. We can edit all that out, the names of the stations and the shows, so we don't have to pay royalties.
Right. And I don't need MTV either, so, frankly.
Exactly. So. The latest news of what's hip, Barry J. and Josh and Mike, Virtual the Uper. And you're sitting there going, I stopped caring what was hip 22 years ago.
They haven't carried that kind of stuff for 22 years. Have you ever looked at MTV recently?
I haven't seen it.
It's the Jackass show, and it's reality, and it's there's no music on MTV.
Really? Yeah, music stopped in the 80s. Yeah, so I'm not missing it much, and I'm sure I could find other places to get my my South Park if they when they produce new shows. So So good for DirecTV. Hope you win the battle, because I know my bill's going to go up if they don't. So, and we're looking at cutting down back on it a little bit anyway.
You really can't watch of the 240 channels choices that you have. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can only typically watch one at a time, and there's probably 200 of them that you don't even really look at.
Right,
40 channels that you watch.
I probably have less than that that I actually watch. I could probably count maybe 10 channels I probably watch on there.
Exactly. I can't wait for BBC America to start streaming online. When I can download it on the Xbox 360 or on the Roku,
yeah,
I will never need regular TV.
Yeah.
Once that happens.
Yeah. I noticed you've been using Netflix lately. I've popped on Xbox Live and it says you're online watching Netflix.
Yes, I am.
I watch a lot of Netflix too. So
I actually got the idea from you. I had the Roku in the living room, and we had Netflix and Hulu Plus and Crackle and a couple of the other channels. And then we wait a minute, we got the flat screen in the kitchen. So my wife moved it over into the kitchen to watch TV there, and I thought, wait a minute, Barry J. watches Netflix on his Xbox. Let me explore how to do this a little more. So I found it at the marketplace and downloaded Netflix, Hulu Plus, Crackle, and Sci-Fi.
Hmm. Yeah. Does a good job. Xbox does a good job for that.
You do a great job. You know what? The menus are different. Wow, that's what threw me for the difference between a Roku, Netflix, and the Xbox. The menus are completely different.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're way more, I don't know, what's interactive on the Xbox.
Hmm.
Then again, my Roku's about 3 years old, too, so it's outdated.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I guess the new ones are coming out this. I think they did. They just come out with a new one, or they're talking about.
Yeah, they came out with the dongle, Roku. Well, we were talking about
that. Yeah, that they announced that a couple months ago. Did they finally come out with it? Is that it?
Yeah. No, this is. Yeah, I went and checked it out. It's the same size as this 16 GB flash drive.
Yeah,
you plug it in, it comes with a thumb drive and a remote.
And the nice thing about it is you just plug it into the back of your TV, because if you've got a flat screen TV, chances are it's got a USB port on the back of it. And how do you get to the menu? I guess you just
Roku. As soon as you plug Roku's in, it'll go to a purple screen that says Roku setting up for the first time. Yeah. And then it actually scans to see if there's a Wi-Fi network, finds all the ones that are available. You pick yours, put in the password to unlock it, and tell it to remember. Hmm. Then from there, you tell it what channels. You go to the channel marketplace, and you pick all. And there's like 200 different channels in the Roku to choose from.
Wow.
Easy 200.
Jeez.
Some are pay, some are free.
Yeah. Cool. Of course, I've been using AirPlay more and more too, because I've got the video podcasts I watch, and I'll just pop it onto the big screen. And then I found out, and I didn't realize this, I thought I heard something about this, and I found it today. They have HBO Go, which if you subscribe to HBO, it is a subscription thing. You got to already subscribe to HBO, but HBO Go gives it to you on the iPad and the iPhone, so you can watch HBO movies on there. And the nice thing about it is it's kind of like on demand. So, you know, they have all their series there, all the movies there, and you just click on it and you watch whatever when you want to, which is a nice feature. And I said, oh, I wonder if they do airtime. And clicked on it, and the little airtime button showed up. So I said, wow, so I can watch this anytime I want, and I can click airtime, and it's on the big screen TV.
Yeah, Airplay is awesome.
Yeah, and...
Airplay?
Huh? Airplay, yeah. Did I say...
Airtime. I don't know. You know, they think you'd come up with a name that'd be easier to remember.
Airplay. I was probably saying airtime.
is there any good Airplay. Series to watch on HBO now? I mean, I called up my local DirecTV, and I shit-canned HBO whenever I saw the ending of The Sopranos. Now, we know how many years ago that was, but I'm kind of curious if they came up with any new series that are worth me maybe considering signing up for an HBO.
Well, Game of Thrones is pretty good. They also have Boardwalk Empire, which is kind of like an early day Sopranos-like show. It's back during the 20s. And that's a pretty good show. Some people like True Blood. I think that's on there. I don't particularly care for yet more vampires. What else do they have on there? They do have several good shows. But what I found is, of course, they own Cinemax also. And I found out that they Cinemax has a MaxGo app. And... And I've been actually Cinemax has been showing some pretty decent movies lately, more action type movies and whatnot. And then they have some kind of show series that I need to check out because it's called Strike Force, and I kept seeing commercials for it. And I said, hey, this looks kind of interesting. So I downloaded MaxGo, and it does AirPlay too. So I'm gonna probably check out the Strike Force series. I'll let you know how it is. But,
oh, look right now. You're going to the Book of Knowledge.
Because MaxGo also works the same way. You got to have a subscription to Cinemax to be able to use it. So, but you can see things going, and as more things happen... As more find out that the internet's the best way to deliver things and stream it, hell, I'd even be willing to pay per episode, as far as that's concerned, you know, because I may not be interested in everything that's on a certain channel. I may be only interested in one show, and so I'd be willing to pay just for that one show.
Right. So,
but we'll see. Things are changing, and. The world is changing, and we'll see what happens. So, let's see. 57 channels and nothing's on. No, is that a...
Yeah, well, yeah, we were talking about, you know, talking about all the stuff that you want to do on, you know, a la carte instead of all this crap that you don't watch. And that reminded me, in a segue, of 57 channels and nothing's on, which was by Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, okay.
Story this weekend. I don't know how they're going to justify this, because Bruce Springsteen and Sir John McCartney are doing a concert in London. Did you hear this story?
No.
And Springsteen is known for just, you know, really giving his money's worth to the audience. And he's playing and playing. He brings McCartney out. They're starting to do Beatles hits together.
Really?
And the local town council pulls the plug because... they've reached the curfew for noise. They pulled the plug on Sir John McCartney mid-song.
Are you kidding me?
With 60,000 people present.
My God.
Look up on CNN or any news services. People are livid.
I can't believe they're doing that. Just, oh, jeez. Are they over there for the Olympics or the pre-Olympics, I guess?
I don't know what it's about. I guess there's a whole series of concerts, but the local town council has sent out their warning. We will pull.
Wow.
Pull the plug if you go beyond the allotted time.
Oh, that's incredible. That's unbelievable. You do that to a knight.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
So, wow.
We'll see how they spin this after the weekend.
Really? I mean, yeah, that's going to make the news big time. I
would have loved to have been at that concert up until that point. That would have been a pretty cool show to see, actually.
Wow. And where was it? Was it at a stadium?
In London.
In London.
In the park in London.
And they pulled the plug.
Yep.
Oh, jeez. Unbelievable. That's incredible. So what's Copper Harbor light changes?
Well, that was kind of a shock to us. You know, we have one of the oldest lighthouses on the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
And the building is still there. It's been, the mechanism's been updated a couple times over the, you know, many years it's been in operation.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple weeks ago, on one of the many Northern Lights expeditions, you know, my wife and I are sitting in the living room and go, oh, there should be Northern Lights tonight. Hop in the vehicle, take the short trip to the lighthouse lookout. And we're trying to look at the sky, and there's Northern Lights up there. And all of a sudden, whoosh, this bright green light just blinds you. Like, huh? And I'm like, well, something's changed here. I wonder if they changed the optics. And then, whoosh, again. Well, we've been used to the traditional rotating light on the tower. Okay, and you kind of get used to timing your eyes so that you can just take care of that one instant when the main beam goes flying by you. That's not what was happening, and I finally looked at it and realized, this thing's not rotating. This thing's one massive LED now that's going off every 7 seconds.
Really?
And it's not really, the optics on it really aren't directing it out. I mean, I'm sure they're getting plenty out to the lake.
Yeah.
But the amount of, it's like a flashbulb going off in your face every 7 seconds now.
Really? Yeah, it sounds like they've got it like, so they're handling multiple degrees on it. It's probably a big LED light bar or something.
It's 360 degrees, but it's not sweeping anymore. It's just one, it's like a strobe going off. Whoa, whoa. So if you're out on the shoreline, you literally get blinded. So I will be talking to the Coast Guard about this, because it's, and everybody who's into the historical end of things in the harbor is just livid.
Oh, I can believe it.
Oh, and they've got it on a light sensor, so it's not going during the day or when it's light out now.
Oh, so it just at night. And
only at night.
Well, at least it doesn't look like a giant Cylon.
Actually, that would be cooler. We have to pick a different spot for looking at Northern Lights now, because it's literally blinding. It's like having a flashbulb go off in your eyes every 7 seconds, and by the time you start to recover from it to try to look in the sky again, you get hit again.
Jeez. Wow, that's incredible.
So, and a totally unrelated subject. I'm just going to just do an awkward segue here.
Okay.
But I was listening to it today as I was running around doing the Mr. Mom taxi thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I finally caught up to the latest episode of Matt's Today in History, and I think I've brought this podcast up before. He's rather irregular in episode output, but I should be one to talk. So he did put one out for 4th of July this year, and I finally listened to it today, and it's awesome. He actually reads the entire Declaration of Independence from start to finish.
Really?
I highly recommend it, right down to the signatures from each province.
Wow.
And I'm not sure they even did that in school when I studied it.
I don't remember them ever reading it. I mean, we studied it, but...
Yeah, but he's got a great reading voice. It's easy to listen to. I highly recommend it. And he's one of those podcasts that was a victim of the great Mevio flush out.
Oh, really?
Killed all the feeds and dropped all the content, and he's been recovering from it. But to me, he was one of the better podcasts, right up there with Barty and some of the other ones that got lost in the fray. And speaking, I'm in this sleep deprived role here in rant. But that new crappy podcast app from Apple.
Oh,
yeah. You know, it tries to figure out what feeds you've been listening to and automatically preloads them. Half of them were Mevio feeds.
Really?
Came up on my. It's trying to find Mevio feeds that don't exist anymore. I'm like, well, how does this work? Well, it doesn't. But
Well, I don't like it for a couple reasons. A, you still got to go into iTunes if you want to set up everything. And I don't think it has what do they call it? The smart lists or... I can't think of the name. But because I have mine all organized in groups. You know, I have my A group, my B group, and then I have a C group, and then I have videos. And so they're all split up, and, I have no way of doing that from my iPhone or iPad. I would still have to go in on my computer to set them up, and I don't even think it handles the groups.
Yeah, Downcast has got nothing to worry about.
Downcast is the best manager out there, podcast manager, because... I've even got, I'll get new ones in, and they're not downloaded yet, but I can still play them because if it's not downloaded, it just starts streaming them. So it's really the most flawless one out there, and it syncs up well through iCloud. So my iPhone, and they've really made improvements on that, so my iPhone and my iPad always stay in sync. It doesn't matter which one I'm listening to at any time because, I can stop listening mid podcast on my iPhone and go in to my iPad, pick it up, hit the button, and I pick up right where I left off on the iPad or on the iPhone. So it's that good at syncing, and just the fact that it downloads everything, and it really is the best app out there. I've heard a couple other ones, and I used to use the other one, and I think you did too.
Yeah,
I guess they've made improvements on it, but once I found Downcast, I just never went back to anything else. So, yeah, it's not everybody's happy because at least Apple recognizes podcasts. Well, they were the first to recognize podcasts, but pulling it out of iTunes was, I guess, a good idea. But it really is to me personally, I think it's a crappy app. I'm not going to be using it. So, but you were talking about we were talking about OS2 and old computers.
And I don't want to drag that out too much. But after missing three episodes, shame on me. Or was it four? I think it was three. You get into subject matter, and it's driving down the road. Like, jeez, plenty of comments on this. Talking about your first computers and loading OS2 from floppy, which I did both on the 5 1/4 and the 3 1/2. I was a certified, definitely had to be certified to be involved with OS2, but I was a certified device driver developer for them.
Ah.
Wrote a lot of code for OS2.
Ah.
And
OS2 was a great operating system.
Yeah, my first computer was a Cosmac Elf, if you remember those.
Cosmac Elf? No, I don't remember those.
The kit was sold by Polypax. You remember them?
No. Blank on both things.
they always had a one-page ad in the back of Popular Electronics. And they were like the original DigiKey.
Okay.
You know DigiKey, right?
No.
Yep. Yes, I do.
You got Josh on that one.
All right. Well, Polypax was the first electronics reseller, Schlockhaus, as we called them in the industry, to sell to hobbyists, and they were the first one to sell the microprocessor to hobbyists. And there was the CDP 1802, where I know we're getting real geeky here, but RCA came out with a 1-bit CMOS processor. And there was a...
Isn't that like on and off?
Yeah. Yeah. I could be wrong, but it's because I'm going way back to the Wayback Machine here now for Sherman, but talking 77, 78. But there was a hobbyist version that was built out there, and then they put this kit together called the Cosmac Elf, where you could buy the circuit board and populate it yourself there. And that was my first computer. You had to enter the the bootloader code by a hexadecimal key. Well, actually, initially you had to enter it by dip switches, toggle switches, to load the instructions in. Then they had a hexadecimal keyboard. And then I upgraded to, I think, the 2K of RAM. That was a big deal. And the 2K of RAM came with a cassette interface. So I went from there to Ohio Scientific Superboards. Ohio Scientific was kind of a competitor to Apple. They were both making these board kit things. And that's kind of where I progressed to.
Okay, see, I wasn't so hardware-oriented. I mean, the first computer I remember actually paying attention to, but never had one, was the Trash 80, the Radio Shack Trash 80. And then you heard about the Z80s, Z81, the Sinclairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never got one of those. Like I said, my first computer was a Texas Instruments 99-4A. And that was an interesting computer for its time.
TI-99, yeah. It was actually pretty advanced.
Yeah.
What you got out of that. Then again, I don't want to hash that out too much because I know you guys went in depth on the last episode on this. But I was like, oh, geez, there was so much I could say there. And from my perspective, again, my original training is analog and RF. Hmm. And from the RF side of things, yeah, I'm more used to wearing... I literally used to have a Gandalf cape and hat. Because it was a black art. You're trying to get these circuits working, you get them going by bending wires at just the right angle and getting a little tap hammer, you know, and pounding on coils and circuits so they would resonate. And it was an art form to get an RF circuit working. And when I first started this digital thing, I was shocked. Yeah, I put the wires together according to the schematic, and it worked. Look, this isn't right. Mm. You know, where's the tuning? Where's the tweaking? Where's the hitting it with a hammer? Where's the incantations with my Gandalf cape? None of that was there.
Yeah, it's just either it worked or it didn't.
It either worked or it didn't. A lot of didn't stuff.
Yeah, a lot of amateur radio equipment's gone that direction now, too. I mean, there's still the hobbyists out there that'll build the analog stuff, but a lot of it's gone digital now. And
I noticed you had the conjecture of a new virtual Uper episode or not. Yes, I am working on it. I'm about a third of the way through, but I am still fighting my way through GarageBand. And more importantly, I have probably 6 mini discs full of recordings from that weekend. I'm going to do a compilation of all kinds of segments from PAB 2012. And I'm having a blast at it, but I have to listen to them. And then I'm using Audacity to pull the clips out and, you know, format them and put the right everything in there so that it works with GarageBand.
Right.
So it's going to be a long process, but I'm having fun doing it. So, yes, a new virtual Uper is imminent. I keep promising that.
Sure.
Keep egging me on. Shame me to put this out.
Okay. Yes, the virtual Uper.
Which reminds me.
The Christmas special.
Oh, it's there. the BAB 2012 Christmas special. There we go. I need those bumpers we recorded, too.
Yeah, I'll have to get... I forgot to send them to you. So
we have to record that other intro, too, sometime.
Yes, we do. We will have to do that. Got to get some
slide time. The border crossing guard.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. So we got to get back into doing the skits again. Of course, got to have time to sit there and write them. So we'll see. So what's going on with your long runs?
Even with the heat, and not, although it's nothing like you guys are seeing. Although we've had our share of 90s out here this week since the beginning of July. I finally, and I don't know if I brought this up in an earlier show or not. I know I posted it either on Twitter or Facebook or one of those services out there.
Mm-hmm.
After 40 years, I finally realized it's easier for me to run in trails than it is on the blacktop.
Really?
Normally by the middle of summer, you know, I keep running the same paths when I was doing my road runs, and you're running against the crown in the road. So you're straining the same muscles and ligaments continuously for the whole run.
Hmm.
Well, at the lack of sleep,
He fell asleep for a moment there.
No, lack of sleep. It was brain farting there. But did it to me again.
Pull the blank.
You're talking.
Hate ranch classes last fall.
Okay.
I wanted to go running, and one of the other software engineers was a ultra marathoner, doing it on trail runs. So I started running trails, you know, across country, and realized that every single step I took was a different angle for my feet.
Oh, that's
so
much better.
So I was creating this same, you know, strain in my legs. I was creating different strain in my legs, but it was a different, you know, a different exercise literally every time I put a foot down. So I started trail running when I came back and found out, you know, I slowed down a little bit, but I'm going much further without any cramps or negative side effects. So I'm up to an average of 15K a run now.
Wow.
So I'm running close to 30 miles a week.
Jeez. And is this through the woods and everything, or is this just...
Through woods along the lakeshore, and I'm running trails, but it's very uneven ground.
Oh.
I'm running the mountain bike trails and stuff. And so I'm going out there for 90-minute, two-hour runs.
Wow.
Around there. In the seat. So I'm carrying a backpack with multiple bottles of fluid with me. I'm going through at least 40 ounces at least on a run.
I guess the only thing I'd be worried about is tripping on a root or a branch.
Well, you got to be really careful where you put your foot down.
Yeah.
And I definitely carry a radio with me.
Yeah.
I do get pretty far off-road.
Yeah.
If I twisted something, I want to be able to say, hey, come get me.
Yeah, because my ankles are, I've got weak ankles from spraining them several times when I was a kid and stuff. And so, you know. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, that would be my concern is you know, you dare and you hit it just the wrong way, and I've done that too many times that I'd be a little more concerned. But, you know, actually running, I can see what you mean by running on a crowned road. You'd definitely be irritating one side or the other more, because just dealing with the slope, it's a constant slope that's also slight that it is, you know.
Really building up one side of muscles and ligaments and not on the other side. So, and someone said, well, you should switch crowns. I'm like, well, I tried that. But I was actually having much more problems with strains and sprains and stuff running on the road than I have been. I haven't had a problem since I've gone on the trails. Maybe just because I'm more careful.
Yeah.
Because you can't be complacent. If you do, you're gonna wipe out.
Right. Definitely.
And then this last week, my youngest son, who is the hired assassin on Modern Warfare, they both are, but he's the one you see on more often. He wants to start actually training for one of the serious mountain bike races this fall.
Really?
And none of our trails are beginner. So I said, okay, you know, you can start riding with me. And I said, why don't you take the Kona, which is the good bike? He goes, no, I'll take the hardtail, and we'll just do an easy one. So we started out on an easy ride, well, at least what I thought was an easy ride.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I turned around, his front tire is about to run into my rear tire. So I kept picking it up. And every time I turn around, he's right there. And I say, okay, we're going to hit some of these bridges, and that'll slow him down. No. We get up to the first point where I was going to turn around, and he's like, okay, Dad, let's keep going. I'm like, well, now it's up the mountain. You sure you're up to this? Well, he wound up going through a lot more fluid, but he did almost a 17-mile ride. Mountain bike ride, his first time out.
Wow.
On intermediate trails on a hardtail. Now, hardtail has no mid-bike suspension. And he kicked my butt out there. I will not be, I'm a little ashamed to say, considering how much I work out, but he was flying. And I couldn't, there were times I couldn't, I actually had to try to catch up to him to remind him to slow down, because there are some pretty serious jumps that he's not ready for yet. But as far as his endurance, man, he's just out there and flew. So now we're going to be doing that at least once a week.
Wow.
Getting him up to speed so he can learn the trails so he can do this race. But that's kind of cool.
Sounds like he's already up to speed.
just needs to... Yeah, okay. He's definitely up to the endurance. He needs to learn how to take the turns and the jumps and evasive maneuvers when there's other people on the trail, because there's going to be hundreds of people in this race.
Well,
so it's a little different. Right. It's a little different story than out there riding by yourself and looking for the rabbits and the foxes.
Yeah.
Right, now you're looking for other Shreks and Schwins and, you know, whatever.
Wow. I just need to get my bike out and ride it. Of course, I go and do the rails to trails because it's flat.
That's cool.
Slight inclimbs, you know. Actually, the first time I went out and rode it after I fixed it back up, I did about 17 miles. Of course, I wasn't trying to go for any speed records. I was just out there for a leisurely ride. So
just go out and do it, man.
Yeah. So
no commercial endorsement meant there at all. But
yeah, definitely. Well, guess what? We're kind of out of topics. Anybody else got anything else? Because I didn't get a chance to do a lot of reading this week, being back in work.
No, nope. I'm been a boring week.
Yeah. Every once in a while, we run into one of those where there's not much going on in the news, and there hasn't been too much. And of course, Apple hasn't announced anything, so this is the late night QRM and Apple show usually. So, but and I didn't see anybody else come up. Well, I saw Adam jump up, but he went offline again.
In and out.
I
saw that too.
I don't know whether he's got my phone number or my Skype number. I guess he does because he showed up on mine.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know. So, well, we'll catch him next time, possibly. And yeah, we are running over an hour, so.
Time to wrap it up.
Yeah, I think it's time. We do have a musical guest, a repeat musical guest, Allison Crow, will be.
And one of my favorites from my podcast that I will be coming out with another episode from.
Yes, her song Dearly, so that'll be up after we end this podcast. And as we always end the podcast, we'd like to thank all the military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, doing their job, keeping us safe here. And in particular, the OCONUS guys, we hope you get back home real soon so you can be with your family and friends. And so I guess with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
I'm Josh.
And from the Medic EMS station, I am Michael, the Virtual Eeper.
And here's Allison Crow with her song, Dearly.
so scar me up, come on. Just add another to the pile. You see, I've done so much just to myself, and you know it's been a while. So break my heart, hurry. It likes the pain, it is sick, but it's what I do. And besides the droning beating of itself, it could use the breath of you. And I don't know whose face I see, but I can see it clearly. And I don't know whose hand I hold, but I know I'll hold it dearly. And I've seen the faces of those I could love and I have.
Samson, speak. Good boy.